ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Robbie Earle, Robbie Musto. A little break, a little winter break during the World Cup, but we couldn't turn down the chance of an offer to speak to a very special guest and former professional footballer, Juan Pablo Angel. Juan Pablo had a successful career for Atletico Nacional, River Plate, Aston Villa, and here in the US with New York Rebels and the Galaxy, as well as being a star for four Colombian national team. I want to start with a new project, a podcast called My New Favorite Footballista. Juan Pablo, tell us a little bit about this project and what the base of the podcast is about.
Okay, Robbie, first of all, great to be here. Good to see you again. And the whole project, when I was proposed to take part of it, it was a little bit of an intrigued one. And when I get to read about it, I wanted to take part of it. And not just because the people that were behind it, but it was about talking about stories that we don't normally hear. We always know, or we always hear about different podcasts or different stories about footballers or soccer players, how they do on the field, the qualities, the ability to play the game. But we rarely hear about what they stand for, what motivates them outside the field and or the football field. And all of these stories that we started to touch upon were great. And to see how they're passionate about it, all of them, was absolutely brilliant. And I think the whole product that came out, it's great. And people will enjoy it for sure.
I noticed two of the names, Chris Richards, who wanted his title was Stop Being Racist. Andre Yedlin, somebody I've spoke to myself during the pandemic and time when he was at Newcastle, he's talking about kick homophobia out of soccer. Just in view of the World Cup, and we'll get to the 2022 World Cup, and that brings all the great football stories. But in terms of a World Cup housed in Qatar and some of the issues around migrant workers, the health of they're saying up to 6,000 people might have lost their lives in building stadiums, the homophobia and attitude towards LGBTQ community, sometimes, the gender discrimination, the women's role in the society there. How comfortable were you, and do you think some players are, the World Cup is going ahead in Qatar?
I mean, to be honest with you, Robbie, I like to concentrate on the football side of it. I play the sport, and there's a lot of issues out there that we're not comfortable with. And and what I learned from this podcast, from this project, is that now, more than ever, footballers or soccer players are using their voices to basically talk about issues that are out there. And it's not just related to the sport only. It's about things that we have seen for years in society, not only in Qatar, but everywhere. And so when we talk about what happened with DeAndre, he is basically speaking out about, trying to kick homophobia out of the soccer. And it's not about tolerance. It's about having full acceptance to everybody, respect our difference, equality for everybody. And it's the same thing for Chris Richards. How many times we have experienced racism in soccer? And we have done how many campaigns in not only in recent years, but, always we talk about it. And we have to do much more than that, much more about wearing a rainbow, or much more about wearing a heart, to have a month of, acceptance. We have to educate our kids. We have to change some of the programs at school. We have to change policies, and we have to understand history. But we have to basically educate ourselves to kick these issues once and for all that have happened in the past, Hopefully will not continue to happen in the future. But it's not just about that. My point with it is we always talk about 1 month. We always talk about one campaign. We always talk about colors. And it's not about that. It's much more than that. It's about, you know, looking into the mirror and see ourselves. What are we doing in a daily basis to make sure that we're doing the right things? Not just talk about it. Do actions. You know, we need actions.
Absolutely. Well said. I think education, you're right, is the biggest part moving forward. If we can educate our kids, this generation. And I think you're right, there's this generation of football now who are using their platform, their social media standing, they're in the world. They're trying to amplify these messages. So, players doing their parts, teams doing their parts, but so much more work to do, all subjects across the sporting landscape. Let's talk about the World Cup now, mate. It has started. What are your thoughts on... This is a start. England had just seen this morning, put 6 goals to Iran. I've just got all the English fans thinking that the World Cup in home, as they would say. What we got to look forward to in this World Cup?
I mean, I am very excited about, you know, the World Cup for so many reasons, Robbie. One of them is because it's being played this time of the year. Normally, we play the World Cup after a long season. And you will think that the majority of the players are reaching their peak level right now. So in terms of the quality, I expect just to have a little bit more quality. Then the weather is ideal, is pretty much in a neutral location. I hope from South America point of view that, you know, the teams from South America have a little bit of protagonism again, because it's been a long time since we have won anything. And I look forward to see whether it's Brazil or Argentina, that they not only have a good World Cup, but they're only to win it. But this is just my personal thought. And then we always talk also about, you know, the importance of getting a good, getting off a good start in the World Cup. When you secure that first game, it's a massive boost of confidence. And what happened today with England, it was an emphatic win, regardless of, you know, the opponent. It was an emphatic win, you know, a lot of goals, a solid performance. And I think that everybody should be delighted. And England, for all purposes, I think in everybody's mind in the football world, have England as one of the teams that they might, you know, be a contender in this competition. So it was great to see him, obviously, getting up a good start.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history. Of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. 5 rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you do for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record!
For the United States, unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
If the South American teams, you talked about that many favour them, not just because of the weather, but because of squads and the quality of players. Who do you think goes further this time? Argentina, Brazil?
Both teams, I think the way they have performed in the qualifiers have been, you know, really, really good. Brazil was solid right from the beginning. They have a lot of strength and depth. And the good part about Argentina is after they won the Copa America, which was a massive thing for them, just to get Messi to win something at the national team level, it looks like the team is going from strength to strength, you know, from that victory, from that title. And I think... you know, seeing the way they have embraced their style, the way the new coach Scaloni is getting the most out of the majority of the players, they're playing as a unit. Yeah, of course, it's Messi. We have Messi. We have to basically make the most of him. But it's not that we have to play every ball to him. They seem more cohesive. Yeah. They seem more compact. And as I said to you, it's obviously it's a very tough competition, but I like to see either one, Brazil or Argentina, just to get to win the World Cup. And this is just a personal favorite for me.
You've played against Messi, against Colombia. Just tell us what it's like to play against.
I've always said, and this is my experience on the field, the only two players I play against during my time that I felt that they could win the game by themselves, and this is probably a big thing, at any time they wanted it, was Cristiano Ronaldo, the Brazilian, Ronaldo, the Brazilian, and Lionel Messi. And it's just they have this unbelievable ability that they might, at some time, they just disconnect from the game. But whenever they want it, you feel that, you know, they can do it. They can take people on. They can score goals. They can, whatever they wanted to do, they do it on their day. They weren't playable.
Yeah. Can Messi, forever there'll be an argument about Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, not the original Ronaldo. Can Messi be deemed as the greatest of all time if he doesn't win a World Cup? Does everybody seem to say, well, you know, Maradona won the World Cup, so he's got to be the greatest?
I just think that we have been extremely fortunate to have and to see these two guys playing at that level for so long. And they feed off each other. They needed each other. And we were lucky enough to have them during our lifetime. And I think this type of situation happened really, really rarely in the sport. And Ronaldo needed Messi, and Messi needed Ronaldo in order for them just to push themselves. But the most amazing thing is the ability of these two guys to have done it for so many years, Robbie. You see, we've seen so many great players, and they've done it for 4, 5, 6 years. But these guys been doing it nonstop for many, many years, 10, 12, 13 years already. And they seem that they still had it, you know what I mean? So have it, which is the most important thing. In my opinion, it's just a taste, the way I like the game to be played. I like Messi because he's raw talent. I'm not saying that Ronaldo is not Ronaldo. He's an unbelievable athlete, an unbelievable quality player. But it just in my taste, I like Messi.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history. And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. 5 rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
So glad to get you on the podcast, to get into your mind and just get an understanding. Was you came to the Premier League, a big-name player, big-name striker. Just then, can you tell me what are the biggest challenges to Premier League? Because we see Havertz, we see Timo Werner, we see a number come into the league who don't always hit the ground running, and we sort of say, oh, well, they're not good enough, or this thing. The Premier League's a very unique league, has very unique challenges. Just tell us a little bit about what it was like coming into the Premier League.
Robbie, I can only talk about my experience. And And to start with, the Premier League, when I arrived back in 2000, is a completely different Premier League than what it is today. And what I'm talking about is about the support from teams to foreign players. When I joined Aston Villa, I didn't know anything about the club. I didn't know the magnitude of the club. A massive, massive, massive club with a lot of history, with a lot of passionate fans, but was a sleeping giant. So I joined this league and I joined in early January, which was the busiest time of the year, which I didn't know anything about it. And I had to hit the round running. I think it was the 6th or 8th of January that I joined Aston Villa. Wow. And my first, the first team that I played against was the Man United that just won the treble. So I have to go to Old Trafford. I couldn't speak a word of English, Robbie, which was extremely difficult because you have to be able to communicate with your teammates. You have to be able to understand what's going around you. And I didn't have any, not even a translator. I didn't have any English classes or lessons. Then I run into a situation which was just a personal issue. My wife, 20 days after she joined me in England, she got extremely sick. So the first 6 months she spent it in hospital. So imagine being in a situation. I was at that time the most expensive player of the history of the club. I needed to perform because we were right in the middle of the season. And I have my wife and my son in the hospital, at the Bupa Hospital in Little Aston. And so I was going through a period that I needed to adapt rapidly, but I needed also to look after my personal life. And I didn't have anything in between, anybody in between helping me. So I have to do that by myself, go in the morning to the hospital first, then run to the training ground, then come back. And that went out for about 4 to 5 months. But then I couldn't even talk about it because I didn't know how to express that to the media. and people were only expecting me to perform well. And what I've seen in the Premier League now is obviously the support for players, the staff around them, you know, the way the welfare people, you know, they have, or the welfare department in the majority of the clubs is spot on. So I think they learn from the experience. And as I said, my experience was a little bit different. But then eventually when I managed to learn a little bit of the language, be able to communicate by myself, understand the pace and the physicality of the league, the difference between teams, you know, the passion and the history of the club. You need to understand the team that you're representing, what you know, the fans expect from you. They want you to embrace their colors. They want you to embrace their culture just to, and in terms of Aston Villa, you needed to work hard. You needed just to give your best every game in order for them to be respected by the fans. And then if you have your fans, you know, backing you, it's much easier to perform. And I found that, you know, after that difficult start, when I started to perform well, I always have, you know, the respect and the effect from the supporters. And that was much easier, although teams outside of the field weren't going great.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Back in those days, you buy $1 million plates and throw them in, and there's no support, there's nobody around. You pretty much just got yourself. Talk about Villa, obviously very near and dear to your heart. Unai Emery's gone into the football club now, it's just before the break. I think you've talked about, I don't quite realise sometimes, the size of Aston Villa and how big that club, history of the Champions League, the winning of titles, Bastard, and the hunger of the fans for success at that football club. It's a big football club.
It is a massive, massive football club. So seeing the new coach, I think there's a lot of things. He is a guy that has history of winning. He also knows the Premier League. He also understands by understanding the Premier League and being in the Premier League before, he understands the stature and the size of Aston Villa. So he didn't go to into this job just by accident. He knew what he was getting into it. And I think the response, it's only the beginning or the start of, you know, his tenure at Aston Villa, but you know, the response from players has been great. And I've always said that, you know, if from the director's point of view, from the ownership, if they manage to run the club properly, Aston Villa can be an unbelievable place because the supporters, the fans, the passion from everybody, the way you are embraced in the city, everywhere. I remember, you know, being overseas, anywhere, there was always Aston Villa fans. It was just unbelievable. And people will let you know if they like you, if they appreciate what you're doing for the club. So I'm to be honest with you, I'm excited to see what's happening right now. And hopefully we just manage just to, you know, reach a level that we started to compete, because the money is in there. And money in the Premier League is important in order for you to attract better players. We have the money. The resources are there. We just need to do better in terms of the management to make sure that we put on a good show every weekend.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Núñez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
We've had a great start to the Premier League season, up to this World Cup break. I just want to mention on two teams. Which one has surprised you more of those two? Off being top of the table, or Newcastle United, that resurgence under Eddie Howe and sitting third as we got to this break?
Two different stories, Robbie. I think in terms of Arsenal, I could see it coming. It's easy to say right now because it's happening. But I could see it coming. They needed just to adjust a few things. But you can tell that they were playing really, really well, even though last year things weren't going their way. But you can tell that for a long period of time, they were playing really, really good football. They needed just to have a little bit more punch. They needed to be a little bit more organized. But you can tell that good things were happening. And I think when we talk about management, is obviously you have to give credit to the board. Because they is time behind Arteta in a very difficult time, very difficult period. They support him. And now things are coming their way. And I think there's a lot of excitement on the club because of the way they're playing and because it's also about history, the way Arsenal fans express the passion for the sport. They like the football to be well played, technically gifted players, and so on and so forth. And I think they're embracing the history of the club. And in terms of Newcastle, obviously, money came in. And we say that, you know, sometimes money don't buy success, but it's a completely different vibe within the football club, and certainly money has helped, because when you have better players,
too many big time players at one, Pablo, are they? You know, everybody's talking like a Neymar was going to come, or a Harry Kane was going to come, or
but they have been very smart in the way they have invested. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have gone for players that they might not be the likes of Mbappé, of Neymar, of Messi, as you mentioned, but the players that were well established in their leagues and well established in the football teams. So they managed to bring the players that they needed it in order for them just to have an immediate impact in the team. And I think they've done well. The scouting department or whatever has been in charge of this, I think they've done a tremendous job in bringing the right people at the right time for the football club.
I suppose when you were coming into the Manchester United with the great Manchester United under Alex Ferguson, went on to win 13 titles. And do you see a Man City being able to do that if Pep on long enough? We both played against that United team that had so many different ways of beating you and were driven by Alex Ferguson, who had just a desire to win every game. Could Man City become the new Man United?
I think they certainly can. I'm a big admirer of Guardiola, and there's a lot of people trying to copy him nowadays. And I think he has a good management behind him. He has obviously the resources. You've seen the way the team play. And one thing that has changed, and this is just, it's not that they didn't have it, but having Haaland at a different, I guess, power to the team, because this is a player that, you know, on a normal basis, you wouldn't fit him within the style of play of Guardiola. But then his ability to adjust and to understand that he needs to do something different in order for him just to get the better, the team better. I think it's also a big quality of Pep. He brought Haaland, someone doesn't interact with the game as much as he wanted it to, but someone that has punch. Someone that has tons of goals on him. And if you got someone that gives you that And on top of that, he started to learn a bit the Guardiola way, the way he wants, you know, his players to play. I think is they can be, you know, I mean, they already done a lot of, you know, good things, but I think they can be even better.
Yeah, it's fascinating how well Pep's done. Just, mate, I want to go back to the podcast, my favourite footballista. Just in terms of what can fans expect to hear when they download the podcast, and where do you see the future of the podcast going? Could it be broadened away from just soccer? Are you thinking of taking it maybe to other entertainment forms, other sports?
I just don't know. I think I'm really excited of taking part of it. The production team was unbelievable. We're talking about a bilingual podcast, which I thought that I could speak English. I couldn't. I was so confused going back and forth. They were extremely patient with obviously the way the things were going. But what excited me about was, and it refers a bit about the beginning of the interview, Robbie, you know, that nowadays, because of what the sport represents for society, because of the amount of exposure that the players have in terms of pretty much being celebrities, you know, for the world, the way they're understanding that they can use and raise their voices to speak of different issues, that they can be a good platform to talk about and to help others, I think is fascinating. And then hearing the stories about these guys, everybody has, and we try to choose different topics. There's a lot more that we can talk about it. But I think this format can be replicated in so many different scenarios because I think it's real, it's personal, and it touched people.
It's fascinating. No, I'm really looking forward to hearing a few and downloading a few myself. Just like to say thank you to Juan Pablo Angel. I know we used to know each other because we had the same gym, although we weren't so close friends, but we knew of each other and had a lot of respect for what you did and knew some of the things that were going, and had a great career in England and obviously moved on into the US. So thank you so much for joining. Just a reminder to check out the new podcast, My New Favourite Footballista. That'll introduce you to his most inspiring players as the 2022 World Cup underway. You can hear those inspiring stories wherever you get your podcast. Just to review, My New Favourite Footballista in English, Mi Mundialista Favorito in Spanish, wherever you get your podcasts. A little reminder to take a break through the World Cup, but we will be back right as the event ends to review the greatest football event in the world, as well as look ahead to the Premier League. It starts back on December 26th. But for now, thanks for watching. Enjoy the World Cup, and we'll see you soon.